Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Look, you want an insurance agent that you trust and you know has your back. I want an insurance agent that gives me the right insurance that fits my life. And also, I want an insurance agent that doesn't look at me as a number, that they care about me and my needs, and they want to do all this for the right price. Oh, and if there's a claim, I want them to jump on it just as quickly as if it happened to them. I've just described to you Purdy Insurance. That's why they're number one across the board. And also, I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keyworth, 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. What a great job Tom and the gang do over at Sunbury Motors. They have 101 years behind them to do. And when you have repeat customers that extend decades, that tells you a lot about the dealership. But you find out more. Johnny Dawkins, by the way, out at Stanford, 8 seasons there as the head basketball coach. Took the job in 2008. Cardinal went to the CBI his first season, did not make a postseason trip the next 2 years, went to the NIT in 13, went to the Sweet 16 in 14, but went back to the NIT the following year, went 15 and 15 this year. Overall record 141 and 100. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day, and it's from Phoenix, Kevin Harvick in the Good Sam 500.
Edwards to the inside. He has the advantage, but Harvick draws even again. They touch again at the start-finish line. Kevin Harvick scores the win again, his 8th victory at Phoenix International Raceway. What a finish. They made contact coming across the line, and Harvick scores the victory, and he was leading on the one to go, the Credit One Bank, one to go this afternoon at Phoenix.
So they made contact at one point, did they? Well, excuse me, Brandon Gowden from BleedingGreenNation.com told me that that happens on the Schuylkill every day. Thanks so much, Brandon, for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, always glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, Mark Sanchez, gone. But they get a 7th for him, a 7th round pick. Essentially, they gave him away, right?
Yeah, I mean, just getting anything for him was a win, only because if the Eagles cut him, they would have only saved $3.5 million. But by trading him, it actually allowed to free up even more money. It was like an extra million, so they actually saved $4.5 million by trading him. So even if they don't get anything in return, trading him was a lot more worth it than just cutting him.
All right, so now what do you do in that spot? A lot of teams will go with a veteran like Mark Sanchez that if something were to happen, they can turn to that person to maybe hold the fort for a game or two. Sam Bradford right. does not exactly have the longest list of consecutive games played in the history of the NFL, so what are the options there?
Well, the Eagles did. They did give Chase Daniel that big deal, so they have a lot of confidence in him. Obviously spent a lot of time with Doug Peterson in Kansas City. Daniel hasn't really started much in the NFL. He only has 2 career starts, but he sat behind guys like Drew Brees and now Smith, so he's never been behind guys that were ahead of him that were very weak or anything like that. So he's learned from some good guys. You would hope he would be able to go in there. And the Eagles have some kind of confidence he can do that because his contract is worth up to $36 million. That would be with incentives and playing time if the team is winning and things like that. But you're right, Steve. I mean, Sam Bradford he's very injury prone. He was healthy last year, but you can't really count on that always. So Daniel would be the guy if he's not if Bradford isn't going to be healthy.
Brandon, what about the cap space that was freed up by sending Maxwell out, Kiko Alonso, DeMarco Murray? How much cap room did the Eagles free up just by making those 3 moves?
Well, they freed up enough to then go spend it on guys like Brandon Brooks and Rodney McLeod and and Ron Brooks and Leotis McKelvin. So they kind of turned that cap space essentially into those players, filling some roster needs. They needed a new starting guard. They still need another one. They needed a starting safety to pair with Malcolm Jenkins. They needed more cornerback depth, especially with trading Maxwell and Nolan Carroll being a free agent as of right now. So with that money they freed up, they used it to address some roster holes, but they still have some left. They still arguably don't have a surefire starter there at cornerback. Maybe McKelvin can be the guy. They also need more running back depth, because as bad as Murray was, you know, he was still their starter and he's gone now. And all they have is Ryan Matthews, who's injury prone, and Darren Sproles, who's going to be 33 in the summer, so, and he's on the last year of his contract, so his time in the NFL is winding down too.
There had been some talk that Matthews was also on the block. Is it the determination now, in your opinion, they will keep him?
I think they will keep him. I think Adam Schefter downplayed those reports. I know there were some out there. I think that was more of a case of the Eagles were open to offers for him. Like I said, there are some issues with Matthews, even though he's very talented. The injuries are always an issue, or always have been an issue in his career. He also fumbles at a fairly high rate. So he's not the perfect player, and it's very possible the Eagles could move on from him after this season. His contract, they could easily cut him after this year if he doesn't prove to be reliable. So I think he's staying for now, but if a team came in and gave the Eagles a deal, you know, a no-brainer kind of deal, I think it would be easy for them to pull the trigger.
I think you look at the three players that they dealt out. Do you feel that the Eagles have addition by subtraction, or are there concerns because of who they dealt?
Well, I think Maxwell, you know, a lot of people criticized him probably more harshly than he deserved just because he was so highly paid. It was clear Maxwell wasn't worth his salary, but I think he was still a positive contributor on the whole for the whole season. I think he played at least at a starting level cornerback, you know, a guy certainly that now he's gone, they have to find a new starter. And again, with Murray, certainly one of the worst running backs in the league last season, but still you need another guy to replace him and to be better than him. And Kiko Alonso was kind of just really bad last year, and maybe he could bounce back, but there were injury concerns with him as well. So to get rid of those guys, yeah, you have to find replacements. But the Eagles, like I said, they did bring in Leotis McKelvin and Ron Brooks at cornerback, so they have some options there. They also signed Nigel Bradham, who has experience with Jim Schwartz, so they brought in a new linebacker. Running back is the position they still have to address, either in the draft or free agency or trade or something moving forward.
Who are some of the top names out there? Like, for example, Eric Weddle signed today with the Baltimore Ravens. Okay, that's one guy. Are there a couple of names out there that you find intriguing, Brandon, that you're wondering if the Eagles might be looking in their direction?
Yeah, I don't think the Eagles are done in free agency yet. We're kind of at the second wave now in terms of all the big money guys and the big name. Most of the big name guys are already off the market. You have some guys floating around like Eric Weddle here and there, but you know, a lot of the guys are kind of that second tier. I think the Eagles are still looking to add a wide receiver. Andre Holmes from the Raiders is a name that's been brought up. They kind of, you know, for as much as draft picks, the Eagles have spent a receiver with Jordan Matthews and Josh Huff and Nelson Aguilar, and they still need a veteran in the mix. They still need a guy who's a proven NFL player. And a guy like Holmes might make sense. A guy like Reuben Randall, formerly of the Giants, maybe he's out there, and maybe he would make sense. They still need to add someone with experience at that position.
Okay. The draft, of course, coming up. Pro days are happening across the board. Penn State's pro day is Thursday. Do you know if anybody's going to be coming up here from Philadelphia to look at it or not?
I don't yet, but I would imagine Christian Hackenberg is a guy they would have an eye on still, because even though the Eagles spent big money on Sam Bradford and Chase Daniel, you know, neither of those guys are surefire long-term options, and Hackenberg could be a guy that would be on their radar.
What's the feeling in Philadelphia after everything they've done in the last 10 days?
I think the feeling here, at least inside the organization, is that, you know, Howie Roseman is back. This much is clear. He's pretty much wiped the slate of a lot of the Chip Kelly moves that didn't work out. with signings like Maxwell and Murray, and those guys are gone, and trading for Alonzo, he's gone. So I think the message is loud and clear that it's Howie Roseman's show once again. And for better or worse, I think the Eagles have had a good offseason so far, but they still have the draft left. And for as much credit Howie Roseman is getting right now, we still don't know the answers to the big questions, and that includes, can Doug Peterson be a good head coach? And, can the Eagles find an answer at quarterback? Will Bradford be good enough? Can they draft a guy? Is Chase Daniel anything? So for as much praise as Howie Roseman is getting, and deservedly so, I still think there are big question marks remaining.
Yeah, and I think the draft will start seeing what kind of direction they go in at this point. But then again, I think the biggest disappointment for me, if I were an Eagle fan, is how do you give up, and I feel like I'm Merrill Reese now, how do you give up LeSean McCoy in a deal like this? How do you do that? I feel like they've set the whole franchise back in one move.
It was hard because especially now you look at the fact that they almost didn't get anything for him. You can't say completely nothing because they did move Alonzo and Maxwell in that trade to move up five spots in the first round from 13 to 8. So it's not necessarily like they got nothing, but it wasn't the return the Eagles might have been able to get if, say, Howie Roseman had been general manager. And, because he has a good understanding of value and things like that, and clearly Chip Kelly didn't. And that's part of why Chip Kelly is gone.
I think that sums it up perfectly. Hey, Brandon, thanks so much. Appreciate the time, as always.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. Brandon Gowden, BleedingGreenNation.com. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, we've talked basketball. Again, I don't know what the heck they did yesterday. I watched that thing last night. First of all, it's 2 hours. 2 hours to announce a 68-team field? 2 hours? I know I'm going to get to Penn State football here in a moment. But 2 hours? I realize that they have to sell and fill time and so forth and try and make some money off of this because, obviously, CBS is the number one network in prime time. Their pro football schedule is great, and it's a moneymaker for them. Thursday night football has been a great success. They're going to go from 8 games to 5. But the reality is this. ESPN put in a bid for the NCAA tournament. And CBS wanted to win it, but CBS did not have the capital to do it alone. And so they went in with TBS. And that's why TBS is involved in it. So now you go with a two-hour selection show because you need to sell stuff. And look, it takes a half hour to do the whole thing. People want to know what the picks are. They want to know who's in and who's out. That's what they want to know. They don't need it to be a show. And you just can't keep trying to ram stuff down the public's throat all the time. Look, we're going to do the college football playoff games on New Year's Eve. Well, guess what? People aren't going to buy it, and they didn't. And we go to, is this Dick or Doug in Milton?
That would be Doug.
It's Doug. Hi, Doug. How are you?
It was Doug, but it's Dick.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to give you a heads up. Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am, Dick. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, I was going to tell you, I'll let this go real quickly, because that was absolutely horrendous last night, in that two-hour, you know, it's like going to church when the minister preaches more than 20 minutes, it's too long. But I was going to tell you, maybe next year what they could do like a Dancing with the Stars and bring two or three coaches and teams up and then eliminate them as they go. I mean, that's absurd the way they did this thing. So I don't know how they could make it any worse.
I totally agree with you, Dick. I sat there and thought, what are you trying to do here? You can't just keep doing things the public will accept it because this is the only thing they give them. Well, the public isn't going to accept it because I thought it was lousy, and so did you.
Well, there's too many analysts also. There's just too many guys analyzing what's going on up there. You know,
I agree with you. Just, I agree with you completely. Yeah,
I'm not sure what their goal is. If they want this, you mean, it went from a half an hour show at one time to, 2 hours now. You know, it's going to be like the Super Bowl. They'll start at 1 in the afternoon the next year, and they'll just keep on going on and on and on and on. But I don't know.
Well,
what's that?
They lost you before what, Dick?
They lost me before they ended the first bracket, really. I mean, realistically.
Yeah. I mean, do you really want to watch Charles Barkley move guys through the tournament? Just tell me who's in.
That's all they had to do. And the other thing is, they got themselves in a box because the one bracket came out online before the show started it, which I think is a little absurd. That last, but allegedly somebody leaked it on the internet. Yeah. I guess they got tired of waiting, so they just put it out there. That's absurd.
Well, in fact, that'll be our bozo of the day, by the way. I already had that one planned out at 4:35, Dick.
A real simple thing, and why they want to screw it up, I have no idea. So I'll just let you go. I just think it's. I hope they can fix this by next year.
Well, again, you know? I think a lot of it has to do with what they think they can sell, how much money they feel they need to get back from the investment of the tournament. I mean, take wrestling. I mean, we already know all the seeds are, and they just put it out, and we all read it at once and went, okay, great, and now we're all going to go Thursday and watch.
Well, it is what it is. My other point is, though, that if they want to sell advertising and they have to spread this out, they got to have people interested in watching it, though.
Agreed.
People will just wait to the end of the show and print out the brackets on there off their computer and let it go at that.
Dick, I couldn't say it any better myself.
See ya. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. All right. Good to hear from Dick. Dick's absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, spot on. I mean, the 2 hours of why? It's the same thing. People told them, don't put, and this is not TV, by the way. TV did not do this when it came to the semifinals. ESPN told them, don't put the semifinals in college football on New Year's Eve. People weren't going to accept it. Guess what? People didn't accept it. I got a story to tell about my class that I teach. I'm probably going to have to save it to the next half hour. But you're talking about 21, 22, and 23-year-olds in the class. That's about the age range that I have. And I took the time today. I have 18 in the class, and I have a very diverse class. Diverse class, male, female, And I asked them, how many of you are football fans? All 18 raised their hands. How many of you are baseball fans? Again, all 18 raised their hands. How many of you are basketball fans? Almost. I think all 18 raised their hands again. I said, how many of you are hockey fans? About two-thirds raised their hands. There's a lot from the Philadelphia area, and they love the Flyers. So about two-thirds raised their hands. Okay. So then I thought, okay, now let's go to a sport that ESPN's promoting hard that's supposed to be getting the younger generation engaged. I said, how many of you watch MMA? One hand went up. And then a partial, kind of like, yeah, so we called it 1.5 in the class. Now, how much have we watched Ronda Rousey and Colin McGregor on SportsCenter really kind of push down everybody's throats about, you know, here it is, here it is, here it is. And I asked a group of 21 to 23-year-olds today, 18 individuals, evenly split, male, female, different races, right? One person put his hand up, and a second one kind of put his hand halfway up and said, yeah, like this, he said. Who's doing the market? And I realize what I'm doing is completely unscientific, but I'll say this. It's one thing I've always tried to gauge from my class and listen to what they say to me when I do things like this, because I'm trying to learn from them as to what their interests are, because interests change from generation to generation. I mean, in the 50s, the top three sports in the 50s were baseball, boxing, and horse racing. Well, that's not the case now. So that's why I asked them some questions. I asked them about fantasy, and only a third of them played fantasy sports, and they all played football.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And our thanks, by the way, to Donna Kurtz-Wagner, who likes the Steve Jones Show Facebook page. Donna, thank you. Appreciate that very much. That means a lot to us. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. So let's, and there's a reason why for that. They get you the right insurance, the best price. Oh, and if there's a claim, they jump on it. You're already, when there's a claim, you're already upset enough to begin with. You need a steady hand that will get you through a crisis and make sure that you are taken care of, that your insurance pays off for you. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Okay, let's get to our sports bozo of the day. Dick from Milton mentioned this, and he's absolutely right. It was going to be the sports bozo of the day anyway. Whomever leaked the NCAA tournament bracket, except this is in two areas for me. Number one, Sean, I'm not big on somebody leaking something, all right? Just, okay, let it play out. We can all find out together. Number two, though, there's a frustration in leaking it because guess what? CBS drew it out so long. You're like, let's go. And did you notice in the last, okay, the show's supposed to go to 7:30. Did you notice from 6:30 to 7, they named 34 teams?
All of a sudden, they picked the pace up. Yep.
Yeah, because they knew it got leaked. Frank Martin, the head basketball coach at South Carolina, saw it. But he wasn't sure if it was true.
A lot of people were saying that on Twitter, too. I was kind of wondering if it was legit myself. I was this close. I was this close to retweeting it, and I figured if I did, it would probably be a fake bracket.
Well, Frank Martin, the head coach at South Carolina, saw that they weren't in it, but he decided not to tell his team. And the reason he decided not to tell them is that he wasn't sure it was true. And then as he sat there, one by one by one, each one kept coming up, and it was true. And again, number one, whomever leaked it, sports bozo. Number two, CBS is culpable because, I'm sorry, Dick is right. I completely agree with him. Hey, I know you're trying to make your money back in the whole thing, but 2 hours to announce a field of 68 teams? I want to just find out. We don't have that kind of time. People are on the go, on the move all the time. We've become a fast-paced society. Give me the information. Then dissect it. If I've got time to watch you dissect it, and I'm interested in hearing what you have to say, okay. He's also right, there are too many analysts. I mean, I realize you're trying to combine the TBS guys with the CBS guys, and TBS this year, by the way, does have the Final Four, so you're going to see the viewership go down this year because they don't have as many outlets as CBS does. Now, I mean, not everybody has cable, for goodness sakes. And I not everything's a show, okay? Not everything's a show. And I think this is one where, do I think they got it right? No. I do not think they got it right. And that's just me. And, well, I shouldn't say it's just me, because Dick from Milton agrees. He kind of led the charge on this one, and I think he's spot on.
It was great watching ESPNU last night for the NIT bracket to find out where Bucknell was going to play. Knocked it all out in 30 minutes.
Of course they did. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do. Is take 30 minutes and get it done. I know that the world has 24/7 to fill programming-wise. I got it. But, oh well. And I've already gone through the bracket. I mean, it's like yesterday didn't exist. Kentucky beat Texas A&M. It doesn't matter. Michigan State wins. Doesn't matter. Virginia has no championships of any kind this year. Doesn't matter. All right, let's get to football now. We got a lot of football talk because the blue-white game will be next month. James Franklin at his press conference today. So let's talk about, first of all, let's get into position moves. Some, you know, a couple of people already know. For example, Nick Scott going to corner. He already, you know, everybody already knew that one. And so that's not unusual. Nick Scott actually went to the coaching staff and said, look, I really would like to do this. I think he understands. He looks around. He sees Saquon Barkley. He sees Miles Sanders. Then you still have Andre Robinson. You still have Mark Allen. And I think he looked around and said, look, this is my shot at playing. And you watch Scott on special teams. He'll go down and he'll hit. He'll wrap and he'll hit. He's a pretty good tackler in open field. And he's got the juice and enthusiasm to play that corner spot. And he's done a lot of work with John Reed, a lot of work with Grant Haley. He's been working a lot with Terry Smith. The next one is Curtis Cothran going from defensive end to defensive tackle. And I saw this, they were working on this a couple weeks ago. So I saw this happen. He and Kevin Givens both going from, both of them going from defensive end to defensive tackle. Curtis Cothran is a guy that, when you look at him, you're like, okay, thin frame, except he has a frame to build on. Curtis Cothran's up over 270 pounds now. And that's huge for him. He's up over 270. And then the same thing, Kevin Givens. Kevin Givens is now at 270 pounds as well. They both have great first steps. You watch the first step they take. They are off the mark, and they get to full speed in about a step and a half. And Ryan Buchholz is going to get a long, hard look there as well. Between, and then there's Antoine White and, of course, Parker Cothran. And Antoine White is a guy that, you know, when I saw him at the morning workout 2 weeks ago, I thought, wow, he's kind of really reshaped himself. And there are a couple guys that have reshaped themselves. Ryan Bates is bigger now. I mean, Bates is amazing in terms of, he has great skills to begin with, but he's built his size up, and he's now up over 300 pounds. He's 301 now. Noah Bay's now at 286. And they aren't the only ones. Connor McGovern's at 306. Brendan Mann's now at 316, and his body fat content is down. Guy is at 286, never had much body fat to begin with. Paris Palmer's now at 302. Brendan Brosnan's at 293. Sterling Jenkins at 329. Chaz Wright's at 343. That might be a little bit too much for him. A couple of other guys. Alex Gellerstadt's at 281. I mentioned Bates is at 301. Dowry's at 333. But I've seen Derek a lot the last couple of weeks. Derek's in pretty good shape. Let's see, Wendy Lorenz at 290, Chance Searles at 293, and Andrew Nelson, who's gone through his first real full-time winter program ever, is at 299. Now, the defensive end spot, you're saying, well, gee, they moved Givens, they moved Curtis Cothran. What does it mean at defensive end? Well, they've got defensive ends. That's not the issue. They have defensive end, starting with, you know, obviously a guy like Torrence Brown, for example. I think Torrence Brown, the more he played last year, the better I think he got as time went. Colin Castagna. If you watch Colin Castagna, there's a motor and a half there. I really like Castagna and always have. Sharif Miller is another guy, just a shade under 250 pounds. And you also have Cam Carter and Robert Windsor inside, too, by the way, in the, at the defensive tackle spots. Ryan Buchholz can play either one. Evan Schwann, Garrett Sickles, Torrence Brown. You got three guys out there. You really need one more out there that will fill it out where you can really rotate four guys. So you're okay there. The offensive line, what's impressive about the offensive line is that you have more numbers and there are more guys that are able to play, and that gives you just better options. Christian Campbell gives them another option at corner. Deshaun Hamilton's up to 214 pounds. Malik Golden had himself a great winter. Andre Robinson's at 213. He's only 5'9". Koa Farmer had himself a great winter program. He's at 223. Brent Wilkerson's at 243. Garrett Taylor's another guy to keep a long eye on this year. Imani Oruwariye. Aaron Monroe. I think Aaron Monroe eventually is going to be a decent safety here. I think his time has gone. He's matured a little bit. He's playing, you know, and I thought he played better as the season went along. Jake Cooper. Jan Johnson's going to be back at linebacker. A guy to watch on punt returns is going to be Josh McPherson. Take a long look at Josh McPherson. Brandon Smith, watch for him to be on special teams this year. They were telling you, James was talking today. Now, let's face it, they do all these 40 times in shorts all the time. But they also do timing here in pads. Brandon Smith is one of those guys that his time in, you know, some guys, like, you put pads on them and they just lose a lot when you throw pads on them. Brandon Smith is one, not one of them. His speed in pads is right around in the same neighborhood as the speed without. I mean, he has football speed. Manny Bowen. I mentioned Castagna already. I mentioned Bates. Windsor and Carter are two young guys at defensive tackle to take a long, hard look at. Steven Gonzalez up front on the offensive line. Here's a guy at defensive tackle to keep an eye on, Ryan Monk. Monk is one of those all-in guys out of Dallas, Pennsylvania, up in the Back Mountain area. He's one of those all-in guys that every coach loves. Monk is like that. Monk forever. I remember talking to Ryan in November. Going to Penn State is something he always wanted to do, and he always wanted to play Penn State football. And he goes to class and practices as if going to Penn State was a lifelong goal. Connor McGovern, of course, right next to him at Lake Lehman. Then you got Brendan Mann, Gaia, Palmer. Obviously going to fight for spots in this whole thing. Chance Searle. Danny Dalton is another kid at tight end. Nick Bowers. I really liked him last year a lot on scout team. He even got some look, by the way, with the number one group several times during the season. The wideouts, Juwan Johnson and Irvin Charles. Johnson is 6'4", 221. Charles is 6'4", 224. Scary. Then you got Gesicki. You got Sickles. You got White. Antoine White's now at 283. More and more of those guys, this is now becoming more of their team. Look, this takes, I've talked about patience, this takes time. People hate when you talk about it takes time and so forth. But this is what, when they put all this down on Penn State, when they put the hammer down on Penn State in July of 2012, part of it was to wreck the football program, make sure it took forever to come back, and also part of it was to fracture the fan base. Well, the fan base has been amazing. They haven't been fractured for the most part at all. Believe me, they want you getting disgusted and not wanting to go. Believe me, they did. You're saying, well, that sounds... I'm not incorrect. I'll leave it at that. I strongly believe I'm not incorrect there. And obviously now, 4 years later, there is impatience along the way with the fan base. But there is a process to rebuilding it back up. It is not an easy process to go through. The fact that Penn State's been able to continue to draw the way they have been has been really important. A little more patience and there will be a payoff, no doubt. What are some of the top games in the opening round? Well, St. Bonaventure Monmouth's out. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. We talked a lot about football today, basketball, and a lot going on. Games in the opening round that bear watching. I'll tell you one that bears watching on Friday is that 7 o'clock game between Stephen F. Austin and West Virginia. They both create a lot of turnovers. West Virginia tries to come at you in waves. You're looking at Stephen F. Austin, which is a plus 6.2 in turnover margin, which is huge because they force 18.5 turnovers a game. But guess what? West Virginia forces over 18 turnovers a game. That's going to be a survival of the fittest game. If West Virginia gets through that, I think they can make a long run in this tournament. That's a big one. Seton Hall Gonzaga is an interesting game. Indiana Chattanooga is an interesting game. I would have said Baylor and Yale. Yale's really good. The problem is when their captain got suspended, it changed the dynamics of that basketball team a lot. Even though they've kept winning, it's not the same team that performs so well in the non-conference schedule. That's an issue. That's an issue. So just keep that in mind. A lot of people are going to try and pick Yale over Baylor. I understand that. They're good. But losing him, and he's going to sue the school now, by the way. He's suing the school. And I just think that is that dynamic has changed things a bit for them. Iowa State Iona is a really good game too, and Vanderbilt and Wichita State in the first four game.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night. Now Tulsa will play Michigan, but I think that game's on Wednesday night. And
yeah, Michigan Tulsa. That's Wednesday night. Yep.
And again, a quick show of hands. How many of you had heard the name Tulsa mentioned since November 1st? I mean, they weren't even listed. Okay? They weren't even listed on, like, the next four out. I mean, that's how far off. Joe Lenardi's really good at this stuff. Really good at it. And he didn't have them anywhere. And he's really good at it. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I looked at St. Bonaventure and everything St. Bonaventure's done. They won the conference. They're 29 in the RPI. They beat seven top 70 teams. If I'm Mark Schmidt, if I'm Schmitty, I'm sitting up there in Olean. I'm saying to myself, what the heck were we supposed to do? Somebody talk to me. And I think that John Calipari had it exactly right when he said it's a moving target. Nobody knows. Football talk, basketball talk today, TV talk, lots of it. Check out the Steve Jones Show podcast. More tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.